Well, the past several Sunday nights, we've been engaged in a series of studies entitled Getting a Grasp on the Bible. We have used as our lesson text 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, which says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." We also introduced as a part of this series the little illustration that has to do with the hand. And we said that each of the five digits on the hand, as well as the palm itself, represents a method of getting a better grasp on the Bible. We said that the smaller finger represents hearing the Word of God, and we talked about the benefit of learning the Bible from hearing. Secondly, we talked about reading the Bible and how important it is to read the Bible in addition to listening to someone preach or teach. Reading the Bible, preferably as regularly as possible, hopefully every day, would be of a great benefit to us if we do it seriously and if we put our heart into the effort. In the third place, we talked about studying the Bible. We talked about some of the things that are involved in studying the Bible, sitting down with the Bible open before us, perhaps maybe with several, two or three translations, different translations that could be compared, a commentary or two in order to look up some of the comments that others have made about particular verses, and most importantly, a pencil and piece of paper or pad that you can write some notes on, making some notations as you go along. We, in the future, tonight, we're going to be talking about the benefit of memorizing Scripture as we study the Bible. We're going to talk about the need to meditate upon God's Word and the benefit that it has. And then we're going to end this series of lessons with a study on applying or the application of God's Word to our lives in the very best way possible. As I said, we've already talked about the hearing and the reading and the studying, and tonight we're going to look at some of the benefits of memorizing Scripture. Now, whenever I talk to anybody, particularly a group of people who have progressed in age beyond high school or at the very most college age, I usually get a lot of negative expressions and some downcast looks when I talk about the benefits of memorizing Scripture. We're going to talk about that very fact just a little bit later as we get into this lesson, but perhaps this would be a good time for us to think for just a minute or two on a subject that has surfaced again, as it does every few years, and particularly recently with the popularity of that book and the movie, The Da Vinci Code. One of the things that for a long time, as the book and the movie came out, one of the things that you heard repeated again and again, and especially in the media and the reports that were given about it, and some of the conversations that people began to have as a result of what they'd seen in that movie or read in that book, was the idea that, as I said, surfaces again and again ever so often, the idea that the Bible is not reliable, especially from the standpoint of its reproduction. What we mean by that is that some people say that the Bible had to be copied by hand and therefore in the early days was subject to a lot of mistakes and errors as those scribes went through the laborious process of copying down page after page and scroll after scroll of the old Scriptures, and why someone says you cannot imagine all of the mistakes that were possible to have been made in considering the accuracy of the duplication. Indeed, it is a fact that in the earliest times, the only way to have another copy of the sacred scriptures was for a scribe, a man who by trade made his livelihood sitting down and copying the scriptures. You see, there weren't any printers. There weren't any copiers. There was no mechanical means of duplicating anything in the printed form, and therefore it all had to be done by hand. Let me tell you a little bit about the process that was used by the scribes in those olden days. Those scribes, you remember, were some folks that Jesus had quite a bit to say about. He, of course, connected them most often with the Pharisees because they somehow wound up in the same camp with those Pharisees. It seems that they were better at keeping the letter of the law than the spirit of the law, based on what Jesus points out in Matthew chapter 23. In fact, in verse 23, he makes reference to the fact that they were so scrupulous in the most minute details, particularly of their tithing, their giving, making sure that they gave a tithe of every small plant and herb that ever was produced by themselves. But he points out in that particular chapter that they fell short in some of the other larger areas. The point for our consideration here is, of course, that they were by their very nature, or at least by nature of their occupation, they were sticklers for detail. They were copyists. It was critically important that the copyists be meticulous in their transcription. In fact, just before Jesus made those comments on the meticulousness of the tithing of the scribes and Pharisees, Jesus had said, "Until heaven and earth shall pass away, not one jot or one tittle of the law will pass until all be fulfilled." The reference there is to the two of the tiniest characters in the written Hebrew form. And Jesus said, not one of the smallest strokes of the pen will pass away until everything is fulfilled. Scribes deeply respected the biblical admonition that was contained in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2. "You shall not add to the commandment of the Lord, nor shall you take away from the commandments of the Lord, which I shall command you." They followed an exacting system of regulations as they transcribed the biblical pages. When a person sat down to make a new text, to copy the text again from the old text, there were restrictions regarding how many words could go on a single page, or as we would describe it, a column. Many of the copies that they made went into the scrolls, very similar to the temple scroll. And the scroll was a record of the words in column form, usually, so that it could be advanced and bring what we would normally refer to as another page before. The scrolls were most often made of the skins of clean animals. And every page or every column, every section of the scroll had to be identical in the number of, for example, if in the original manuscript there were 124 words on the page, in the copy, when it was completed, someone other than the scribe who copied it, someone was brought in who gave a count or got a count of the words and made sure that the number of words in the copy were exactly the same as the number of words in the original. Then a line count was made, and if there were 15 lines in the original, there had to be 15 lines in the copy. Then there was a word count per line. Every line had to have the exact same number of words in it, line by line. And then after a page was completed, the count was made to determine on the original what was the exact middle word of the whole page. And then the count was made of the duplicate to make sure that the same word was the middle word. And on these regulations went, so that even to the extent that there was a certain sized space that was required between consonants, a different length of space was required between other letters. Between chapters, there was a prescribed distance that they could be spaced. There was no such thing as a man sitting down and reading a line and then turning and writing that line down and reading another line and turning and writing. No, he didn't even so much as read one word and turn and write that word down. He read one letter and wrote that letter. He read the next letter of that word and wrote that letter. The process of copying the record of Scripture was something that took hours and hours and days and weeks and months and sometimes even years. In 1947, in a cave near the Dead Sea, there were a number of scrolls found. The oldest copy of the Hebrew text up until that time was dated from about 1,000 years after Christ. The scrolls that were discovered in that cave near the Dead Sea dated back to the century before Jesus lived. Among those scrolls were two complete or almost complete copies of the book of Isaiah. Those copies were word for word identical to the present day Hebrew Bible in more than 95% of the entire text. The other 5% included variations that could have been obvious slips of the pen and variations in spelling, which may very well have been why those scrolls were discarded in the first place in that cave. So when someone tries to tell us that the Bible is not reliable because it's been copied over and over and over again so many times, it's an argument that won't hold water. It's an argument that just simply isn't true. But now back to our subject. Why should we memorize Scripture? I will preface these comments with the same thing that I have said previously regarding various methods of study. There is not a passage in the Bible that says, if you expect to go to heaven, you've got to memorize so many chapters or so many verses or so many books, or every self-respecting child of God ought to be able to quote the second chapter of the book of Acts or anything like that. Now, if you take Bible in Brother Northern's class at Faulkner University, I'm sure he's got some requirements that you have to meet in order to pass, but I'll be up front with you. There isn't anything in the Bible that puts a certain requirement on us so far as memorization of Scripture. Everything that I'd like to present to you this evening on the subject of memorizing Scripture comes under the heading of what I believe to be just real good advice based on sound biblical principle and based on the idea that the more about the Bible we know, the better off we'll be, at least if we'll apply it in our lives. somebody says, I can't memorize Scripture. I can't memorize anything. There are in very, very extremely rare cases people who have no ability to remember anything. Those kind of people are generally a threat to themselves and to everyone else who's around them because there's something wrong. The real truth is we can all remember a lot more things than we sometimes would like to own up to. When it comes to race car numbers or drivers or batting averages for certain ball players or win-loss records for certain football teams or, you know, on and on we could go. For some reason, some of us don't seem to have any problem remembering certain things. Somebody says memorizing Scripture isn't all that much fun. You know, I really don't have a counter for that except to say, well, I suppose that may possibly be pretty much true. If you're in it just for the pure fun, I don't think memorizing Scripture is your bag. But there are some really good reasons why we ought to be willing to at least give it a try. Number one, if I will memorize some Scripture, I believe that Scripture will go a long way toward helping me to resist temptation. I would use the record of Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, the record of the Lord Jesus Himself, who met those temptations of the devil with a quotation of Scripture. Now, if I might create a little hypothetical situation, I think that I can make this point very clearly by suggesting to you that when the devil came to Jesus, it was not the situation where Jesus says, you know, that sounds pretty good, but I think there's a verse somewhere in the Bible that says something about that. That's not what the Lord did. Oh, but that was Jesus. That's right. He was divine, is divine. Jesus probably didn't have any physical problem at all remembering what the Holy Scripture said. But He gives us a good example of being able to quote pertinent Scripture in a situation where an answer to temptation is needed. Now, you can't memorize enough of the Bible, I don't think, in a normal lifetime to insulate and insure you against every conceivable temptation. But any Scripture that you can quote puts you in a lot better standing than none at all. Scripture helps us resist temptation. Number two, I would suggest to you that Scripture that is committed to memory can even help me make wise decisions. In Psalm 119, verse 11, the psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." The sad truth is that some who claim to be God's people, are so woefully unfamiliar with the principles of righteousness and the Scripture itself that when confronted with a difficult decision, sometimes their lives are thrown into pandemonium when if they were more familiar with what the Bible said and quicker with the ability to call to mind something from Scripture, they might be in much better condition in facing that difficult decision. Can you make good decisions with the Bible open in your hand rather than committed to memory? Of course you can. How many of us carry our Bibles with us except to worship services? Number three, I would suggest to you that memorizing Scripture will strengthen me at a stressful time. Psalm 119, verse 50 says, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me," or "thy word hath strengthened me." Surely the argument can be made and clearly seen that the more familiar we are with what the Scriptures say, the better we'll be able to bounce back in stressful times and to conduct ourselves in the right way when the pressures around us cause so much difficulty in our lives. Number four, Scripture committed to memory attunes my heart to God. Again, David said in Psalm 119, verse 38, "Establish your word to your servant and that which produces reverence for you." There is no better way to prepare for worship assembly, for a time or a period of worship to God in some formal sense, than to refresh or run through our minds, either reading or quoting, passages of Scripture. It just points us in the right direction. It puts us on the same page with reverence and appreciation for God. How about number five? It prepares me with ready answers. I think we need to emphasize the word ready there in that verse. Peter said, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that's in you with meekness and fear." The reality is, too many of us fall into that category with the majority of religious people whose first answer when someone asks them a question about what they believe is something like, "I'll have to ask my preacher." Now, I'm honored when people ask me Bible questions. When someone comes to me for help, I'd like to think that it's an honor to me. But if that's our standard answer, "I'll have to ask my preacher," you know, there's something wrong. Peter said, "Be ready always to give an answer." Well, obviously there are some good things in memorizing, and so the question needs to be answered, how can I do it? Are there some hints? Are there some helpful things that could be adhered to that will help me to commit more of Scripture to memory? I would suggest just these few things. Number one, choose your verses. You are probably not going to want to commit to memory as your first choice in a memory work effort passages from Leviticus or some obscure part of the Bible insofar as a generic point that's made, but verses that have so much to do with what is so often readily at hand and concerns that are on the surface of everyone's mind and heart. Verses that speak of salvation. Verses that address the matter of doctrine. Verses about worship. Verses about God's love. The point is, you can't memorize, or probably, maybe you can, but you're not going to start out memorizing the whole Bible. And so, choose some verses that will be the most meaningful to you to commit to memory. Number two, as you consider those verses, trying to commit them to memory, it is very helpful to read them aloud. We made this point in the lesson on reading Scripture. For some reason, things stick in there better when they go through the ears. I won't take that any further, but for some reason, things are easier to remember if we hear them. Read those verses of Scripture out loud, and you'll find that they stay in your memory much better. In that same connection, be sure to memorize the reference, because one of the hardest things to remember is, where is that verse found? I know there's a verse that says so and so, but you know, where is it? That's the part that most people fail to remember. And so put special emphasis on the reference. Say it at the beginning of the verse and then at the end of the verse after the verse has been quoted, and you'll find it much easier to remember the reference to the verse. Number three, when you're memorizing a verse of Scripture, break it into natural phrases. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should never perish, but have everlasting life. Something in that manner. Don't try to take a long verse and cram it all in at one time, but break it up into natural phrases and remember it phrase by phrase, and then start to put it all together. Number four. If you're serious about memorizing Scripture, make some study cards. Write some favorite verses down on index cards. Keep them with you. Read them. I read about a fellow who made Scripture cards and taped one each week on the top side of his sun visor in his car. And every time he pulled up to a red light, he would pull the visor down and he would read that verse out loud two or three times as he waited for the light to change green. He claimed that he memorized over 500 verses of Scripture using that method alone, just sitting at red lights and nothing else. Whatever method is good for you in going over those cards, writing them down on cards, very helpful. Put those cards in a prominent place. For years, I can remember my mother having a new card every week, it seems, standing up in the windowsill above the kitchen sink. And as she stood there working at the sink, there was that verse of Scripture. Maybe you'd like to put it on the door of the refrigerator. Or you might try that sun visor trick. Don't run any red lights or forget to go when they turn green. That'll cause some problems behind you. But put those Scripture cards in a prominent place where you'll see them, and you'll be surprised how much difference they make in being able to remember Scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 tells us that we need to exercise ourselves unto godliness. One modern translation renders it, take the time and the trouble to keep yourself spiritually fit. You know, I like that. Take the time and the trouble to keep yourself spiritually fit. Isn't that what we're talking about? Isn't one of the things that gets in the way of learning more about the Bible is that to a certain extent, it's quite a bit of what we sometimes would call trouble. Take the time and the trouble to keep yourself spiritually fit.